So the big question is this: how can you, as an entrepreneur, be able to get unstuck, to be able to know what to do, how to do it, and where to start, so that you can stop experiencing a lack of wealth, health, faith, and love, to get to point B, where you're experiencing the life you were meant to live as an entrepreneur, your greatest one life, creating more income, impact, and influence? That is the big question. This podcast will give you the answer. My name is Austin Blanchfield. Welcome to the One Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, 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 what is up, everyone? I'm super excited. Austin Blanchfield here, coming at you live with an awesome guest for today. I'm so thankful. I'm so blessed for this man to be able to come on and interview here with us to be able to talk about his journey. Justin Bell, he's spent 13 years in vocational ministry as a pastor. He's spent over 16 years as a business owner with 7+ figures of revenue. So incredible man of faith, man of integrity. I'd like to give him a nice warm welcome. So welcome, Justin. Thank you so much, man, for being on.
Hey, what's up, Austin? It's so good to be with you, man. I just, I love you and your heart, man. And I'm just pumped to be on today and to get to hang out with you in the Facebook world.
Yes. Yes. And same goes to you, man. I love what you do and how you show up. And I feel like, with how we show up, we really, really resonate. Like just knowing you from Legacy Builders and knowing you from, Life on Fire, it's just like that instant connection where it's like, I want to get to know this guy. So it's awesome.
Totally,
so thank you.
Totally.
Thank
you. I remember meeting you at that Abundance event, and yes, it was funny because we didn't end up actually getting to connect that much, but it was like every time I saw you, it was like I was seeing this really good old friend that I was like, oh my gosh, we need to catch up. Like, yes. I just would see you and I'd be like, oh my gosh, you're so awesome. So a little bit of bromance going on there, man.
A little bromance. Here we go. Bromance session in the house. Yes. Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, awesome. Awesome. Okay. So cool. So let's go ahead and jump right into your journey. So, I guess before we jump in, just a little personal question. What is something that most people don't know about you that you want to be able to share with us?
Oh man, that's a good question. Well, people are starting to know this because I'll often mention it, but I am actually incredibly introverted. Like very, very introverted. Like if you told me I could like I won a cabin in the mountains by myself for months, I would be so excited.
All
like
over
you have
that.
No idea. It's not that I don't like people. I love people, but people are often shocked about this because I was in public speaking to thousands of people on Sundays, for so long. And I guess I can be perceived as an outgoing person, but I'm incredibly introverted. A lot of my mentors are dead guys that wrote books a long time ago. Yeah. And I hang out with them. But that's something that a lot of people are like, what? You're an introvert? But then they get to know me more and then they start to know. But funny story about that, though, is my wife didn't know I was an introvert for the first 2 or 3 years of our marriage.
Yeah.
And every night she'd be like, so what are we doing? I was so excited to be with her. We're newlyweds. And then it was like I wasn't fully aware of it, or I was afraid to say it. I don't know what was going on. But then I started to plant these little seeds of hey, I think I'll have some alone time, or, and she was shocked. She's like, what's going on? Does he not like me anymore? And she started realizing how introverted I was. And so we literally on our calendar now, we have date night and introvert night. We literally have it on our calendar because she knows that
awesome.
That's the way that I get, filled up. And it's been interesting with quarantine because I'm all happy. I'm like, oh yeah, we get to stay. We're just going to stay in our house all day in our pajamas. That sounds great, man. And then she went to the store for the first time in since COVID started a couple of weeks ago. She went to Trader Joe's. She's very extroverted. And she got home and she literally looked like she just went to Disneyland, got a free massage and her nails done. She was so excited just going to Trader Joe's. So anyway, that's something that a lot of people are pretty surprised to hear about me, or they don't realize at first.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed. And that's awesome. And two, I feel like how you put it, I think that's awesome how you actually put that into your schedule, like an introverted night, you know? Because I feel like that's really, as far as like looking at the aspect of like self-identity and who you are as a person, like being able to, like you said, like that provide, like that fills your cup. And so you just putting that in your schedule, I think that's a good, kind of a good, like little bit of a lesson for people, like just tuning in, really just understanding like who you are. Like it's great to be an introvert. Like if you're an introvert, like that's awesome. Like step into it. If you're an extrovert, that's awesome. Step into it. So like, I think that's awesome. Thanks for sharing
Yeah.
that.
It's and it's one of those things that for sure, like, you know, talking with like a coach or something like that is so helpful with
Yeah.
something like that, because it's you can't just like fully, like for me, if I just fully embrace that, like I've had seasons where I'm like, I'm just an introvert and I want to be alone all the time to read books. Well, like, you know, it's not like the Bible even says it like right out the gate, like it's not good for man to be alone. Like, so if you like when I swing in that other direction, I can tend to be, you know, disconnected or antisocial and to be out of like community and really like accountability, what you're all about, like that like a level of accountability with room for me to have that time to be able to process and recharge, I think as a combo is super, super important. To make like to maintain a place of health.
Definitely.
So that's my there's my second comment on the first
That's
question.
awesome. Nice. Awesome. Great. Thanks for sharing that. So, yeah, so let's jump into your journey now with you being like involved in the ministry for so long. So what kind of sparked like that journey in the first place? Let's kind of go back in time a little bit here and yeah, discuss a little bit about that.
Yeah, totally. So I grew up in a trailer park, and I wasn't really raised with any sort of faith. I literally didn't know that Easter was about Jesus until I was about 17, and I was actually on staff at a church going to my first Easter service. Like I didn't know that growing up, like that just was out of my, I don't know, it was just out of my context. And it was kind of interesting because my father would like go to church like in the middle of the week, but he didn't really talk about it a whole lot. And anyway, I ended up going with him when I was about, you know, 15. And I just heard this preacher preaching, and I had, you know, I'm a junior high kid about to go into high school, and I had kind of like, you know, seen myself as a really good kid. But then I was starting to go down a bad path, and really, you know, kind of sense this need for some sort of like redemption, you know, in my life. And you know, heard the gospel preached and gave my life to Jesus. And I mean, it's just like it radically, you know, changed my life. And I actually met my wife Lauren like pretty quick after I originally got saved. And I just remember like when I first met her, and she's like, I love Jesus, and she was talking about like faith. And like I didn't know anybody like that, like growing up, like that ain't what we talked about in the trailer park, man. Like, and I was like, oh my gosh, this girl's awesome. And I literally prayed. I was 15 years old, and I literally prayed and I said, God, I want to marry like this girl. And God actually audibly spoke to me, and he said, okay, and like said that to me. And that's a crazy, crazy, crazy story. Anyway, I just was like so excited about, you know, the Lord. And I was super, super into music, like so into music. I know you're a musician too, but I was playing jazz. Like I was playing clarinet and saxophone, really into like John Coltrane, Miles Davis, like all those guys. And I come to the church, and like I didn't get into rock and roll until I was in high school. Like I was the kid. I'm like listening to big band jazz as like an 11-year-old, while like all these other kids are doing their own thing. And but then I finally started getting into rock and roll, and I found like these Christian bands. Like you remember like POD back in the day and like
Yes,
those guys?
POD.
Yeah. So anyway, so I learned guitar, and I was like, I want other people to know, like, you know, what I've like experienced with like the real Jesus, because I experienced a lot of religion, and a lot of stuff that I just wasn't really interested in. It was like very moralistic, like I'm better than you, I follow the rules. Like I was like, I don't want any of that. But then when I like met Jesus, the actual real Jesus, like, I was like, oh my gosh, people have got to know about this real Jesus. Mm. And so what ended up happening was I just kind of got on this like natural, you know, track, like serving in my church, and I was leading worship where I had, you know, this opportunity to go on staff as an intern, like right actually in my senior year of high school, and went on staff at that church and served there for 13 years and got ordained and started, you know, preaching a ton and just had a really, you know, amazing experience. But do you want me to talk about the transition?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, most definitely.
All right. All right. So, So within this time, so I'm single, and like I feel like I should wrap up the story about my wife. Like, should I?
Yes.
Like, okay. Okay.
Yes. So, yeah. That's. So, I mean. Yeah.
Okay. So she. Here's the thing. So God audibly said to me, yes, you're going to marry her. And I actually started like writing this like journal to her. Like I wrote a poem to her. Like it was this whole thing about like, I'm building this stairway to your heart, and I hope it's still there by the time I, you know, get to your heart. And here's the funny thing though. We actually were in the friend zone for 7 years. Mm. Not my choice, her choice. Friend zone is a terrible, terrible place to be. I like to call it like it's like purgatory, which I don't believe is biblical. But if it was a thing, then that would be the friend zone. Mm. But man, it was just like I was so in love with her. But she saw me as a friend. We were best friends. Mm. But it was just like nothing more. And so she actually ends up moving out of the state. And I still had this belief that she was supposed to be my wife, but it kind of looked like impossible at this point. So then when I'm 19 years old, my faith in that promise gets re-sparked, and I start praying every single day for the entire summer. God, move back Lauren Ritchie, that was her last name before, mm-hmm. From South Carolina to Southern California, and let me marry her every single day. So then all of a sudden, wow. This one day, I get this like random call from her, and she's like, I can't believe what happened today. I'm like, what happened today? She's like, and she's laughing and and like, I could tell she's smiling. I can't see her. She's like, I got fired from my job. I'm like, why is she happy about getting fired from her job? Well, there was some like weird like thing with her job where she actually didn't do anything wrong, but there was this weird protocol at like the bank she was working at where her boss was like, I don't even know, like this is so weird, but like I'm sorry, but you have to get laid off. Yeah. Sorry about that. And then literally 20 minutes later, she gets a job in Southern California, and she gets a place to live in Southern California like a couple miles from me. She's wow. like coming home. I'm like, holy moly, like this is actually happening. The power of belief, the power of prayer. And so she comes back, and she actually ends up dating another dude. I was like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? And I ended up dating another girl. It was like so weird.
Yeah.
And then, so that went on for like, you know, a while, but then we actually started talking again, and she's like, I can't get past like the friend thing, you know? And then she had dreams 4 nights in a row, seeing like me as her husband with children. And like she was holding a baby, and I'm like walking in with a couple of kids, which down the road actually ended up being literally identical to our master bedroom that we were living in. It was just wow. like we moved into a house that she had never seen before, and she came in the house and was like, oh my gosh, this is the room for my dream, like years after we got married. Wow. So she had this dream 4 nights in a row, and she woke up and she's like, what the heck, God, like what's this all about? And God audibly spoke to her and was like, Justin Bell is your husband. And her feelings immediately, you know, followed. So a lot of people asked her, like, did she ever start actually liking you? Like, she just do it because God said. But she, you know, we have just such a great connection and such a great friendship. And then so to turn over to like the ministry side of things, like,
yeah.
So we're married, and you got two kids, one on the way at the time. This is about 4 years ago now. We now have four kids. We had a baby during quarantine. I don't recommend that, by the way, where you're in high school and being an entrepreneur. But anyway, but we're, you know, she's got these, she's, you know, she's pregnant, and we got these two kids, and dude, I just shut down, and I literally had like the dream. I'm like, you know, preaching like every other Sunday at this awesome church that's like multi-site, and I'm being poured into to, you know, take over the church and one day, and it's like literally the dream. And I just start falling into this like deep, deep depression. And even though it was all in line for me and it looked like it was the right thing, God kept saying, no, this is actually not the path, you know, for you. Mm-hmm. And my emotions and my physical body, I believe, started responding, you know, to that reality that I was like in a place that was a good place, but it was the wrong place for me. Mm-hmm. And that God was calling me into something different. And so I kept, you know, it was like one of those inklings in that, you know, when you have that gut feeling that you keep ignoring, like it was that.
Yeah.
And so it gets to the point where I literally, my body shuts down. I start to get filled with pain. They find a mass on my spine. I've got, you know, I'm just a mess. Like, and this, all these doctors start telling me like, man, we're sorry, but you need to leave your job. Like, you can't do this. Like, you're actually probably never going to work a day for the rest of your life.
Wow.
And like, I get this news and I'm like, what? Like, I'm supposed to like do this. And yeah. I'm an entrepreneur on the side, on top of, you know, being a pastor, by the way, like this whole time, like I've, yeah. you know, started a business when I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
And, so I had to make some, you know, major changes and, you know, got to a place where I had this business. Thank God I had this business, because I didn't really have any other way to like make, you know, make an income.
Yeah.
And we started growing our Amazon, you know, FBA business, which was so like, thank God, like literally the business model that we, you know, created, it didn't involve like, I could do everything from my phone. Like, yeah. you know, I didn't have to pack any boxes or anything like that. And that ended up taking off, and it was like it's like Peter in the New Testament when he keeps trying to go, you know, minister to the Jewish believers, and God's like, no, you're called to you know, minister to the Gentiles. It happened with Peter and it happened with Paul, like in the New Testament.
Yeah.
But the Lord is like, you're not like, this is not where you're supposed to be. Like, you're supposed to go, you know, go into this new platform. So it's been a wild ride, man. Like, but I'm so pumped just to like, you know, meet people like you, and God is doing something in the marketplace. And there's something powerful. I think when people, there's so much disintegration in the Christian faith where we like, we go to church on Sunday and then like, that's that thing. And then we have our job and that's that thing. Mm. But like, God wants to be a part of everything. Right. And
yeah.
there's people like you out there that are like really helping people to invite Jesus into like every aspect, you know, of their lives. And I think it's just a powerful thing and a powerful thing to be a part of. I told you, you give me this mic, man. I'll preach for a long time. So I'll stop there.
No, that is awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Cause and two, like you really hit on the key point of like the power of belief and how like you're really relating that with your wife and how the power of belief and having that faith and that trust that it was going to happen. So how do you think that that plays a role in not just obviously how it happened with your relationship, but even through your journey with your business, with, you know, having the mass on your back, like you said, what's on your spine, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even through that experience and like, cause I imagine like during that time, I mean, that was just a complete, low point being like experiencing that. So talk about, yeah, the power of belief and how that affects every aspect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it started out where, I mean, like in the beginning, I didn't think I had, any, like really any belief.
Hmm.
And as the situation began to unfold, I started to notice that I actually did have a lot more belief than I realized. And I even feel like that's a word for somebody right now. Like, you know, maybe somebody's discouraged right now with what's happening with COVID and, or something else in your life, or a mixture of both. A lot of people have this cocktail right now of all these like challenging events, you know, in their lives that it feels like a death cocktail. Like, like maybe that's a word for somebody right now. Like you have more belief than you realize. And, you can tap into that at any point. And, I thank God for my kids because I knew I want, like, there was this big part of me that I wanted to just give up and sit in my man chair because my man chair was where I was like actually comfortable. And I just wanted to like live in the man chair and, you know, take painkillers to make the pain go away. Like that's literally like, if you would have asked me like, what do you want? Like, that's what I at least would have said. But I was looking at these kids and my wife that I love so much. And I was like, and we made the choice like early on in our marriage, like before we had our first daughter, which was a couple of years into our marriage, that my wife was going to stay home. So she was staying home and I was the sole breadwinner and she helps with the business and stuff. But I looked at these kids and I was like, I can't give up. Like I can't give up for them. And yes. It was so interesting because we named our son, son that we ended up having right in the midst of this, Isaiah. And the name Isaiah means God saves. And I swear, like, I look at that little boy and I know that like Jesus ultimately saved me, but like he used this little boy, like, cause I just fell in love with him. And like I love like my other kids so much. And it just kept telling me like, you can't give up. Like you can't give up. You can't give up. And for a while, I just had this deep pit in my stomach where I was like, man, this is just so terrible. And then I was like, okay, well, this is the hand that I've been dealt. So what am I going to do with it? I can either pout or I can, you know, run the numbers and place a couple bets and try to make some money here. You know what I mean? Like this is the hand that I've dealt. And so I think at some point when with belief, you have to actually come to terms with where are you right now? Like, you know, in any like area of your life, like where is your business? Like, where are you in your health? Like be honest, like any health coach will always say the first thing they do, I hate it. Whenever I talk to a healthy person like you, they're like, write down everything that you eat. I'm like, no, I'm going to write down everything I'm going to eat, you know? And they're like, no, I want to know what you eat now. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand what is the reality right now. What is the hand that you've been dealt? Not the hand that you wish that you had been dealt. And what are you going to do with that hand? And so I was like, okay, well, this is what I've been dealt. So I just set these big goals, you know, for our business. And all of a sudden it started actually happening. Like our business started, you know, growing tremendously, adding like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of revenue per year to our bottom line, which was just insane. Like I was watching this unfold. But in the midst of this, I still, you know, had this like belief in this reality that, you know, I was so ill and like, and I'm definitely, you know, not the kind of person that thinks that you can just, you know, like say a couple like magic words and like, you know, biological realities go away. But there, like we were talking about before this, like there is a power in how are you responding to the hand that you've been dealt? And so, man, it was crazy. Like, it was really at like, you know, some of the events that we were going to with like Life on Fire and, you know, Nick Unsworth, like I'm hearing about this amazing guy who like has these crazy stories of belief. And I was like, I need to tap into that. And I'll never forget. I was pulling into my driveway, coming home from Abundance and like, God just spoke to me in a powerful way in my heart. And he's like, you do have that belief and you've had that belief for a long time. And he literally was like, look at your wife. And he's like, look at your house that you have, you know, right now, like, because like the, you know, the last two houses we've been in have been just complete miracles that were a result of belief. And like my business had grown as a result of belief, like that impacted the way that I showed up. And he's like, if I brought you this far, like, you know, what makes you think that I can't bring you further? And I had already started to feel a lot better, like physically and with my health. But I took my attention off of my issues and my problems. And I put my attention on like, what do I need to do? like what, how should I show up right now? And what action should I go through? And, you know, one of those realities was I was like very, very overweight. So, you know, I knew that like the core issues of what was causing, you know, a lot of my health conditions, you know, had explanations and stuff, but like, you know, who is to doubt? Like I was literally 80 pounds heavier than I am today. Yeah, and, wow. I was like, you know, that's gotta have something to do with it. And I'll tell you, like losing that weight definitely has, but that was a new mindset. And that, even that whole process was, I used to think like, I am just an unhealthy person that's trying to, you know, I would see like, dude, you're all ripped. Like I see people like you, I'm like, that's just how he's born. And that's just how he's wired. And, you know, I'm not like that. I'm trying to be like that. And all of a sudden I was like, no, actually my new nature, God has given me a new life. He has delivered me. I'm a new creation in Christ. So I'm not the old man anymore. I am healthy, and yeah. I'm going to be healthy, and I'm going to think like a healthy person. And it literally started to change the way that I would behave. And I went from, you know, crushing a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream to being able to literally take out a tiny spoon and take one tiny bite at night and just say like, okay, I'm done and I'm satisfied. And it was like just crazy just watching my actual behavior change as a result of that belief, and then becoming a person who is just, you know, totally transformed. So yeah, it's just been a wild ride. And you know, sometimes I share some of these things and people are like, man, I wish like that could be me. And like, I'll just tell you, I was literally you. Like I was literally, you know, wishing that it could be me. But you know, the difference was that like, you know, starting to tap into that belief, but honestly, it took a coach to show me where I was lacking, where I was self-sabotaging, where I had limiting beliefs, and then to know that I was actually accountable to that coach. Like, and I hated that word accountability, and I still hear it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, accountability. But it's not a bad word. It's not supposed to be a bad word. And if somebody's, you know, shaming you and accountability, I mean, Austin, you'll be the first thing person to agree with this. Like they're not doing their job. Like it's about like bringing you into who you really are, you know? That's what I would say to that question.
Nice. That's great. And yeah, I mean, talking about, so like looking at the power of belief, I can really sense him. And like you said, we were kind of talking a little bit about this before we hopped on. Really that helped like shift your mindset. I feel like a lot of people, they try and make the change happen without making the mindset shift. And like you said, and having that link to that belief or even that why, you talked a lot about like how you recognize that your purpose and how you were meant to show up was not just for yourself, but for your wife, for your kids, for your son. Like it's just incredible when your why is so much, your purpose becomes a lot more fulfilled when you have that why, when it's greater than yourself. And I feel like that has really helped you in your journey in that aspect as well. And just knowing, knowing other entrepreneurs in the space that are highly successful, they always talk about their journey and growing from the low, right? Like you grow from the low, those low points in your life, and being able to have those mindset shifts. But what really takes them to the next level is having that coach or the right support to be able to look at that outside in, right? Like to look at that from that broad perspective to be able, because when we're in our life, we're in the thick of it, right? Like there's only so much that we can see. And we do, but we only do based upon what we can see. And it can be very limited when we're in the thick of it. And so that's where that coach can make a huge impact. So relative to your business, I know you talked about, you know, the power of belief and then really being able to set goals as well. And then having a coach, talk a little bit about your business and that like growth point. For you.
Yeah. So, there were two, major transitions, and the first one was actually, it was actually an entire year before I got a coach. And, I had, you know, this little productivity, journal. I still use them to this day, the Best Self Company. And I just had this crazy idea this one day that, you know, I put down some, you know, very hard numbers. And for, you know, we have a couple of businesses, and for our home services business, I put down that I wanted to have 100 new recurring clients. I wrote down in this little book, which was crazy because that was like, I mean, it was pretty much like doubling our business at the time. Hmm. And I made a commitment to write that goal every single day and to believe it was going to happen. And every time I would get a client, I had this special page in the back of the journal where I would write down the name of the client and what monthly rate they were paying us. And I had never like tracked a goal in that sense before. It was always this nebulous, like, yeah, I think we've added, you know, we've grown a little, you know, gained a little, lost a few, like you don't really know what's going on. And so I didn't see the power of what was happening. And then I started to get so inspired. And I said I'm an introvert in the beginning of the call. Like I do not like selling or making sales. Like that is my worst enemy. I never want to pressure anybody, yeah. You know, but I started to realize that a lot of people, they actually appreciated having somebody who really cared and was being very conversational and really seeking to, you know, serve them. And it was just crazy. I just started writing them, and every single quarter we would get either 25 or more. And you know, and with our Amazon business adding a certain amount of products, like it was starting to happen. But then like, so that was a big shift. Number one, but then I started to like hit a ceiling, and it was like, I got comfortable in what had happened before. And I didn't have the motivation to get to the next level because it was good enough. We were paying our bills. We had, you know, enough to save. Like it was good, you know? So I wasn't as motivated to get, you know, to the next level. So I was self-sabotaging in a bunch of ways, and I was making excuses that I didn't even see. And then when I had a coach come on, dug deeper, and you know, it's not good enough, man. Like it's good enough is not good enough. Like it's not really fulfilling you. And you know, so many like Americans and people, like we get so satisfied with like just the status quo. You know, we just don't want to be drowning anymore. We just want our head above water. But like, you know, God, like he wants to bring you up out of that water. Like, and he wants you to walk on that water, baby. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like he wants more for you, but like, so often, like, I mean, literally like Peter, you know, that's that story I just talked about. Peter's drowning. And like, did he just do it by himself, by his own belief? Like, no, he had a coach. His name was Jesus. He was the best coach ever. Right. Yeah. And he called him up to walk on water, and he took his belief, and with his belief, he mixed that accountability and that leadership and that partnership. And that's like when he started to walk on water. So when I had a coach, I started to realize, okay, I don't just want to get out of water. I don't want to just have enough to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. I want to get to the next level. I want to build a legacy. I want to bless people. I want to make an impact, right? And it's got to be for other people. Like you said, like every time I've been motivated about, you know, I want a nice car or a nice, like whatever, like, it doesn't end up producing any results, but when it's about other people and making an impact, like that has like such a meaning and a power behind it. And I believe that God comes and partners with a person who wants to make a positive impact and, you know, get like gives more energy, you know, into that endeavor. So that's what I would say, like those turning points and how belief and then coaching, you know, change things. In my life and my business.
Wow. That was mic drop. Drop my mic. That was awesome. I love how you talk about like, I feel like what you're saying as far as that being good enough, where it's just like putting your head above the water, like just barely, like just trying to just get that last breath, like, and you're just fighting for that breath always. Like, I feel like a lot of people live that way. And like for you making that shift to get a coach into your business to get you above water, what was that point where you realized that you needed a coach to help you do that?
Well, I think it was when I started to realize and embrace a new dream. Because my when I was in that place where I'm like ill, I can't work, I'm trying to provide for my kids. My dream was, I just want the bills to be paid so I can sit in the chair, right? Like that's what I wanted, you know? Yeah. And but then like once I got to that point where if I wanted to, I could have just, you know, worked 1 hour a day on my cell phone and like everything was paid and taken care of. But I was like, I don't actually want that. Like that actually sounds miserable. And it actually like was miserable to just settle, you know, for that. And that's why I think vision is, you know, so important. And yes. A lot of people are afraid to dream, especially when you're in like a reality like we are in today, where you feel like you got knocked down. Like, you know, you've been underwater and you keep opening up your lungs to try to breathe and it gets filled with water. And like, you get to a point where you're just like, I can't even think about, you know, walking on water. I can't even think about making an impact. Like, yeah. Like I just want to pay my phone bill. Like, you know, like we get to that point where it's like, becomes like a real scarcity, you know, mindset where we're trying to just have enough. But I think it took for me to realize, like, I actually like the true me, like I talked about the true me being healthy, because we all have, the Bible talks about this, even that we have two natures, that we have the old nature and the new nature. And as I discovered, you know, who God had called me to be and the dreams that he had put in my heart, it moved from, you know, I had this like ministry dream and it seemed like it fell apart. And now I was just trying to survive and sit in my chair to, oh my gosh, like I actually would love to make an impact on Christian entrepreneurs. And like my whole passion is like, you know, we talk so much about, you know, advancing the kingdom. But there's two resources that limit people to advance the kingdom. One of them is time and one of them is money. And I don't know of anything besides entrepreneurship that you can leverage more to get time and money in combination so that you're now freed up. Like there's a new movement of entrepreneurship coming where like, you're going to see less and less ads of like, here's like my nice car and my mansion. Like people are over that. People are going to use their blessings to bless other people. And I'm not saying that those things are wrong because, you know, they're not like money is a morally neutral, you know, commodity. It's when we love money and worship money that it becomes, you know, a problem. Mm. But there's a new movement, you know, of entrepreneurs that they're going to use the excess that God has given them as stewards to go and bless other people. And I'm like, man, that wakes me up in the morning. Like that gets me, and I'm not a morning person. Like that makes me excited. You know, the idea of being able to impact people and like wake them up and thinking about people like me who are in that place where they're so discouraged and they just want to give up. I'm like, this like miracle happened, you know, in my life. And, but it's like, it can be, you know, it can be passed on. Like it wasn't this fluke event. Like it's something that can happen with other people. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is what God has been setting me up to do like my whole life. And like when I got pumped up by that, and it wasn't just about me and surviving so I could sit in the chair, but like you said, so that I could serve other people and, you know, create a movement. That's when it started to get really exciting. And the ability to like, most people, they think it's selfish a lot of times to actually dream. Like they think that, you know, if I, you know, want to go on, you know, a nice vacation with my kids and create memories, like my 9-year-old daughter and I, we have this dream and this goal, and it's going to happen. We're going to go to Japan together once COVID stops. And it's like, there's part of me that's like, you know, feels bad for, you know, wanting that. But like, that's not selfishness. Like that's making an impact on your kids. And, you know, to get in a place where we feel bad for, you know, dreaming and wanting something, we can get in a really bad place. It's all about balance. And that's why you need a coach, you know, because you can go the other way and get, you know, way too obsessed with, you know, getting things for yourself. But when I started to tap into that dream, that definitely was a huge shift in my life.
That's huge. Nice. So yeah. So tapping into your dream. So your dream right now, because I know, you know, I talk a lot about like living your one lifestyle, right? Like one life, WON. And so that's part of your dream. So what are you doing right now? I know you've got, you know, some awesome stuff that you want to be able to share and talk about. So what are you doing right now in your one lifestyle, living out, tapping into your dream?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. There's two things that I'm really, really excited about that I'm doing to be able to, you know, live out that dream. And one of them is just launched a few months ago, a brand new podcast called Faith Plus Biz. And I'm bringing on like the world's greatest entrepreneurs, coaches, and pastors, and, you know, people who are in that faith world and the business world or both, to come on the podcast and to talk about like these subjects. Like, and I have a really cool guest that I'm going to be interviewing tomorrow. His name's Austin. I'm so excited for that tomorrow, man. That's going to be epic. Yeah. That episode will drop in about 30 days. So, yeah. but that's one of the things that I'm really excited about, just to like provide that platform and to get to pick these people's brains. Like I was on a call this morning with Nick Unsworth. He was doing some training and he was talking about how like one of the great things about having a podcast is like you get to just hang out with these like people you've been wanting to talk to, and you get to ask them questions you're actually curious about, you know, and listen to what they're saying. So it's been fun personally to like meet all these people and to get to interact with people like, you know, you, but to also like to be able to offer, you know, something that people are looking for. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is that I'm showing people now what we've done to grow our Amazon FBA business, because one of the things that I did when I was in that state, one of my goals was to grow our Amazon FBA business from zero to $250,000 in 12 months. And we did it, which was just insane. But I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like crazy, because it's a model that, you know, literally can grow exponentially, because you're not like packing any boxes. And you know, Amazon is shipping all of your products for you. I was like, I have to show, you know, other people how to do this. So, we're actually going to be doing a launch on Amazon, challenge. That's coming up on Monday, October the 19th. The website for that is launchonamazon.com. If anyone wants to join it, it's completely free. But I'm just excited to share, you know, some of those things that, that we implemented to meet a real practical need, because it's hard to help other people while you're drowning underwater. Like it is. Yeah. Like that's part of the reason that we become self-focused when we're in that place of, you know, we're drowning. And that could be emotionally, spiritually, it can be financially, physically. You know, for me, it was like literally all of them at the same time. Yeah. And you know, like I just like I get so excited about the idea of like somebody being able to like take some of these, you know, tricks and, you know, start their own Amazon business. So those are two things that I'm just really, really excited about at this time.
Nice. Awesome. So yeah, I hear that. So everyone, what I want you to do right now is I'm going to have within the notes here as well, within the description of this episode with our live video, you know, his podcast. So subscribe to Faith Plus Biz, his podcast. And then also if you're really interested in selling on Amazon, like he said, like let's hop into the challenge. It's going to be starting this upcoming Monday, the 19th. So hop on. I'm going to have that on the, just, you said it was, what was the website again? Launchonamazon.com.
Yeah. Yeah. You could put, it actually forwards it to officialjustinbell.com, and sometimes Facebook doesn't like, forwarding.
Like that.
Forward. I found out the hard way.
Okay.
I getting shut down one time, maybe.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So just put officialjustinbell.com in the notes. It's a good lesson for everybody. Perfect. Don't put a forwarding link on your Facebook link. Post or Facebook will shut you down.
Awesome. Awesome. So officialjustinbell.com. Perfect. So be sure to do that. Before we wrap up, you know, our interview today, this has been awesome. There's been so many.
Mic
drops, man. This has been awesome. Thank you so much. So what's been, so like just reflecting on your journey, I always like this question. So if you had to, like putting yourself in a time machine, okay, you got like all the knowledge you have right now, all about all the wisdom that you have, but you put yourself in a time machine, you go way back to when you started your journey, what would be the number one thing that you would change, that you would do differently?
Oh man, that is a great question. You ask very good questions. I hope everybody, you're taking notes on Austin's questions. See, this is a good coach right here. I'm just talking head over here. Here's the dude that asks good questions, right? I'm just saying, he'll pull out gold from you. I'm actually really boring, but he's just asking good questions. Right.
Whatever, man.
If I could go back and I could talk to myself about one thing, you know, I recently read a book that I can't believe that I never heard of before. It's called the Four Agreements. I can't remember the name of the author right now. He's got all sorts of theological beliefs that I don't know if I would, you know, check every box, but you know, who are you going to ever agree with, and who really knows what's, you know, fully 100% right anyways, right? We have to stay humble. So, sorry for saying that comment, but, but one of the epic things that is so true, that what he says in that book is that we all have what he calls a victim and a judge talking in our heads at all times. And they're trying to win our attention. And what happens, it goes a little bit like this. The victim goes, oh my gosh, you know, my life is so hard right now. Like, look at this hand that I got. Like, they start, you know, realizing what's going on, but then they become a victim and they're like, I can't believe this happened to me. This always, stuff like this always happens to me. Everybody's out to get me. And they get in this place of stress and defense, and it shuts them down and they stop like really doing anything or feeling anything good because they have all this negativity in them. And who shows up next? The judge. You're so lazy. You need to get off your butt. You need to stop feeling sorry for yourself. I can't believe you. You know, you should have, if this was somebody else, like they would have, you know, figured this out better than you have. And you earned all these bad things in your life, all this negativity junk that's wrong. And we ping pong between these two voices, and we think that one's right and one's wrong, but they're both actually completely, completely wrong. And the way to like experiencing, you know, transformation is like, you know, washing out both of those voices and in hearing a new voice, which I believe is the voice of God speaking identity over our lives. And what I didn't realize for so long is that I kept thinking that one voice was God and the other one was the enemy. And I would start to, I'd be in the judge, you know, and then all of a sudden I start to hear the victim, like, you know, this is really hard, actually. Like, maybe you shouldn't be so hard on yourself. And then I would like go to that place and I would be like, okay, like, yeah, I'm being too hard on myself. And then I would go into victim mode where I'm like, oh, you know, woe is me. I just have a hard life. And then the judge would start to show up. Are you really just going to feel sorry for yourself forever? You know, you're being useless. And then I would think, oh, that's God speaking to me. And I just went back between these two voices for so long, and it kept me stuck. And and honestly, like really like seeing a coach, and you know, I've had a great therapist that I've gone to as well, helped me to realize that those voices aren't God. Yeah. That's something evil, you know, telling you that's the old man. That's not who you are. God's called you into something new. Like, and you know, like it talks about in the Bible that Jesus is, he's so, you know, compassionate, and he knows like every, you know, temptation and struggle that we deal with in our lives. And he could sympathize with it, even though he never gave into temptation himself. You know, and at the same time, like it says, you know, in Romans 8:1, like there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So like when you've got, you know, the judge and you know, the victim coming up, like, I don't know, that's just been one thing that it's been very powerful in my life recently, and it was then. And I think never assuming that like you get to a place of like I've arrived, like And yeah. that, and again, that's why a coach is so good, because we do that same things and that same thing, like emotionally, in like our, like in our own hearts and our marriages and whatever, is we get comfortable, right? Once we stop drowning, we're like, I'm good now, I can relax, you know? And, a coach will help you to, you know, break through those things, and realizing that those voices are always kind of still there, like, you know, trying to get you stuck, again, you know, because I mean, as a Christian, I believe that the enemy wants to stop whatever God is trying to do. God, like, especially right now, like God is trying to instill hope, like he wants hope, you know, for this world right now. Like, and a lot of people are hearing those voices louder than they have in a long time right now. And you know, we need to hear the correct voice. So yeah,
that's huge. Wow, that's huge. Yeah, I like how you said the correct voice, and how you obviously, you know, as us being believers, we know that to be God, like speaking true identity over who we are, true identity over our lives, and really stepping into that identity of, like you said, it's not the, like you said, the old man, that's the old man talking, like this isn't the new man that God has called you to truly, to fully step into. And it's like that man has been there the whole time, and being able to disassociate that negativity, those voices in your head where you experience that attack, to be able to adopt God's identity for you, is just, that's powerful. That is huge. Nice. Thank you so much for sharing that, man. And thank you so much for being on. This has been absolutely incredible.
Oh man, it's been so fun to chat with you. And I can't wait to do our episode tomorrow as well.
That's gonna be great, man. Thanks awesome. For having awesome. Me. Thanks, yeah. Austin. Yeah, yeah. So and then one last time, like, so as far as the support and the resources, you said officialjustinbell.com.
Yeah, that's the awesome. That's the right, that's the good link to use.
That's the good link. The good link. Okay, so that's for the launch on Amazon challenge that's coming up here in just 5 days on the 19th, and then subscribe to his podcast, okay, Faith Plus Biz. You can get that on all the platforms, correct?
Yeah. You can. Yeah, just search for Faith Plus Biz or my name. You could also go to faithplusbiz.com. That's the website that'll point you to. Podcast.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, great. So awesome. Thank you all for tuning in, hopping on. We appreciate you all for given this, really just diving in with us on Justin's journey, and really just understanding, you know, what it takes, like different strategies, different tips, different tricks, value to be able to live out being a one entrepreneur, right? Like that's what this is all about. Like it's a journey. It's a process of how we can really fully step into being a one entrepreneur. So thanks again, Justin. Appreciate you, brother. This has been awesome.
Thanks so much, Austin. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, awesome. Great. Well, have an awesome, wonderful rest of your day, y'all. And love you all. And we'll catch you on the next live interview. All right. Thanks, Justin. You are awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in to the One Entrepreneur Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you do not miss a beat, every single week providing value through live interviews with one entrepreneurs. So see you next time. Love you. My name's Austin Blanchfield. Tune in out.